God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Okay. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Great things that He has done for us. Amen.
Amen.
The most powerful gift is the gift of life.
Absolutely.
And so, if you can see, if you can hear, then you have everything to give glory to God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the
Lord. Yeah. Because we slept with other people yesterday, and today they could not wake up. They are not alive. Breath of life is the most powerful gift that God has given to any man. So I want you to lift up your right hand and say, thank you, Father, for the gift of life.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah. Life is more expensive than any commodity you can think of on this planet Earth. Praise the Lord. Yeah. I want to thank God first of all for His mercies, for His kindness, and for His power. Yeah, bringing me all the way from Ghana, one of the best countries on planet Earth.
Amen.
Ghana is known of love, hospitality, God, and gold. We love God, even though we mine we have a lot of mining sites in Ghana, but we don't get to see the gold. Praise the Lord. But it's such a wonderful country. I just want to pray that one day you will deem it fit to have a trip or a holiday to Ghana. You are not hearing very well, sir. You are not hearing. You are not hearing me. Can you then? Yeah. So yeah. If you are not here, please. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You can come and sit with Reverend Andrew so that you can hear very well. Sorry.
You're okay.
Sorry, I don't have a vibrant voice. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so sorry for that. So we thank God for this morning. I want to sincerely thank God for Reverend Andrew. In fact, the first time we met, I was told he was a rabbi. And so that is what we were calling him. The name that they mentioned to us was rabbi. And that those that used to have some beer, rabbalic beer. Amen.
I had an Amish beard at the time. We were at a conference in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Yeah. And the person who led our delegation from Ghana to that conference 4 years ago personally introduced me to Reverend Andrew. And certain things, because of the story he told about Mama's sister, we could not come together as we planned. I've been coming to the United States since that time up to date. And this time, I believe this is the time that God wants us to come together. This is the appointed time. Praise the Lord. It is never late. It was not wrong. It is the appointed time now for us to come together. And in His time, Bible says that He makes everything beautiful. Hallelujah. So I believe this is the day that the Lord has made, that we should come together. And so when I extended my request that, oh, I would like to visit your area, he gladly said, oh, come. And then he organized for the transportation, everything. And by the grace of God, I arrived in Russell's Point yesterday evening. So I want to sincerely, not only that, he picked me from the station with Mama, the wife, a very beautiful Mama. Amen. Why? You didn't say amen. Mama is beautiful. Amen. Yeah, it's very beautiful. Amen. So they took me to their house, gave me a very warm reception. They cook very nice food that tasted almost exactly what I eat frequently in my nation. And so I really enjoyed it. In fact, I requested for more. Amen. And which they gave me more. And they accommodated me with a nice room arranged for me. And so sincerely, I want to appreciate Rabbi, Reverend Andrew, and Mama for their kind gesture extended to me since I met him in Philadelphia or Pennsylvania. Yeah, 4 years ago. So sincerely, I want to say I am grateful. Please, can you help me put your hands together for them? Thank you. Thank you so much. I pray that God will cause men to be kind to you, just as you have been to me. Amen. I also want to bring you greetings from my family, my wife, a very beautiful lady, and not only outside, but also inside. She's such a virtuous woman who has been a covering of my nakedness, and I'm grateful to God for her life. By name, Reverend Grace. He's also a reverend minister, but professionally he is a caterer. And God has used her ministry as a caterer to help our ministry as preachers in the vineyard so very well. Amen. And maybe in the course of the preaching, I wouldn't want to spend more time here, so in the course of the preaching, I'll be able to tell you some of the things the Lord is using us to do in Africa. And I pray that you get to come to Africa. Please don't be afraid to come to Africa. Look at me. This is a true African. All the pictures and videos you see, people use it to get money from others. That is not the true story of who an African is. African is me. Amen. Yeah. The African continent is so rich and so beautiful. So, especially Ghana, very hospitable. When you come to Ghana, if car is not taken, you say, I don't want to go back again. I only visit United States, and I want to make Ghana my home. So some of the things you've heard of Africans or seen black people do, it's not the true reflection of what the continent of Africa is. I'm telling you the truth. He has been meeting Africans. He has gone to other parts. At times you have to have some kind of bad experience, but it happened everywhere. Right. Yeah, even in the United States. Right. If I tell you some of the experiences we have had, it's so wonderful. You know, people treat people anyway, but whatever you have heard of Africa or an African, please don't just conclude it. We have good people. You know, in this world, we have negative and positive. And it takes the two to make the world what it is for us to enjoy. In your home, the cable that comes through the box or the switch, it's not one cable, it's two cables, the negative and the positive. It takes them to give you light. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So I bring you greetings from my wife and the church. We have two children, Prince and Princess. Prince is a student at Seneca University, Canada here, which is, I'm so minutes from him, but I can't see him. That is the pain, but I'll go there to see him. Amen. And the princess is also reading her bachelor degree at Kwame Nkrumah University, business and administration. We have a church where, by the grace of God, God has made us chief servants by name International Vision Church. Amen. I work with my bishop, Archbishop Prince Kudolo, for 25 years. And then 2010, the Lord laid on my heart that I should do an international missionary work. And so I went to him and he graciously prayed for me and released me. And since then, I have been on international missions, traveling to far and near countries and cities. Anytime I come to the United States, I don't travel to less than 4 or 3 states. I go 5, 6 or four states. And this is, even since I came, this is my 3rd state I have been. So we are grateful to God for what he's doing. The church is a very powerful church. We are into evangelism. We are into training of leaders and church workers. God has given us that gift, and we are grateful to him for counting us worthy to be part of the kingdom. Amen. I also have a social media platform, Vision Life, and I have the president of Vision Life. She comes from Trinidad and Tobago, but she lives in New York, and we have a platform. It is registered in the United States. We do conferences, revivals, with midweek services and other programs. So this is who I am. I am typically an Akan or an Asante. I don't know whether you know the tribes in Ghana. Have you ever heard a king called Osetutu Asante Kingdom? Have you ever heard? In this world, we have few kingdoms. And we have the kingdom of UK, where we were colonized by the Britons, Great Britain. And so our kingdom is almost like the Great Britain. It's a very powerful kingdom. In fact, when you talk about African continent or the world, it's a very powerful king. And by the grace of God, I happen to be in that tribe. Praise the Lord. So that is where I come from. The language we speak is Twi. Twi. Somebody should try it. Let me see. Twi. 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 Who can try it? Twi. Yeah. Twi. That is T-W-I. Or A-K-A-N. Akan. That is our language. And this is the predominantly language in Ghana. Amen. So this is who I am. In the course of preaching, maybe I'll be able to add few to that so that we will be able to finish on time. I am here this morning to share with you. I'm not coming to preach to you. We are coming to share the word of God together. Amen. Amen. Yeah. We are coming to share the word of God together. Because the Bible says that we all know in parts. Amen. And some of you have had the privilege to read theology. We have something called progressive revelation. And so you don't know it all. What you know, somebody knows maybe more than you. And so that is the reason why when we meet together as children of God, we have to exhibit spirit of humility. Amen. We have to exhibit spirit of humility. So this morning, I will be sharing with us, and the title of my message is, Let Your Light Shine. Can you say that with me? You do it as if you are talking to me. Praise the Lord. You talk back to me. Alex, let your life shine. Yeah, so that goes back to you. Whoever you are, whatever your name is. Let your light shine. Praise the Lord. Yeah. It's very important that we come together. You know, one of the things that you have to enjoy, the reason why you have to enjoy fellowship like this, coming together, is that God is relational being. Yes. Amen. He's a relational being. He loves fellowship. Praise the Lord. God is not a transactional being. And I will explain that. God is a relational being. He loves fellowship. And that is why he could create a garden and put somebody called Adam and Eve. And the Bible said that at the cool of the day, he was always going there to have what? To have what? To have fellowship. Amen. Is that not so? Please, is my accent okay? Do you clearly hear me? It's my accent. You do. Yeah, but I'm not getting the feedback from you, so I'm tempted to find out whether we all have the same problem. At time when you speak, I have to be attentive before I understand. So please, it's an universal problem. Hallelujah! Wherever you go, praise the Lord. So God kept Adam and Eve in the garden, and the Bible says that at the cool of the day, he goes there and have fellowship. Your fellowshipping with God is more important to him than your car. More important to him than the house that you live in. None of them count. Praise the Lord. All these things are additional to the fellowship we have to God. Because God is so kind that even before he created man, he first created a garden. And the garden was full of everything that a man could think of. Praise the Lord. God did not first create the garden before he created man. No, he didn't want man to be in want or in need. God provided man's need before he brought man forth. And it's likely so. All of us here who have given birth, before your child come, you buy baby cot, you buy all sorts of things to make sure that when the child comes, that he or she will not suffer certain things. You prepare before the delivery. Is that not so? Yeah, the moment your husband or your wife will discover that she is pregnant, then preparation begins. The name to give to the child, the baby cord, the wraps, all the towels to wrap him or her, or to make her feel comfortable. The school that he or she will attend, at times you have it at the back of your mind. That is a sign of good parenthood. And that is a sign of the Spirit of God, that God first thought of you. And so he made certain things available before you were born. Before man was created, certain things were available. God created first two things. Oh, let me say, he created three things. He created the heavens, he created the earth, and he created the world. You see, the earth is the cosmic power, which are the substance that we are able to stand on. And when we talk about the world, we talk about the systems of the world, systems of the earth. The systems of the earth includes human being, includes trees, includes water, includes grass, anything you see. And God created all these things to meet man's need. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You have a need. God knows that he's not a wicked God that he will bring you to a place to make you suffer. No. But anytime man goes away from God, You automatically or willingly plunge yourself into suffering. The reason why we suffer is because we have refused to obey his voice and walk in his ways. Praise the Lord. That is the source of our suffering. When Adam disobeyed, problem came. He saw his nakedness. Many people are naked today because we have not obeyed what God wants us to do. Praise the Lord. Yeah, yeah. There was a guy called Jonah. God instructed him to go to Nineveh to preach the word of God. He wouldn't have found himself in the belly of the shark in any way, but because he disobeyed God and started going to Tarshish. Anytime you run away from God's agenda, God's purpose, you plunge yourself literally to suffering. Lord, people are sick. Lord, people are killed. Lord, people live in poverty simply because they have disobeyed the voice of God. Amen. Now, let your life shine. Sorry, your light shine is the word that Jesus spoke to those who believe in him. Okay, can I? Oh, okay. Okay, then I will not struggle too much. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. So in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14 through 16, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket or a bushel, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Wow, what a fantastic scripture. So Jesus was talking to them, and he started, if you retreat back, the previous verses, he was talking about you are the salt of the earth. Praise the Lord. And Jesus used all this allegorical element to prove to the disciples who you are. Hallelujah. And then he came to a very important area and said that you are the light of the world. You, me, Alex, you, Rabbi Andrew, there is no light in this earth or in this world without you. There cannot be light without you. And I will prove it. Praise the Lord. He said, "You are the light of the world." Is that not what he said? Is that not what we read? Yeah. Of the world. Praise the Lord. On the earth, God has a way of giving us light. But among the world, among the creation, among the creature, you represent the light. Just as the sun or the moon represents light or gives us light on earth, you are the one that gives brightness to the world. The world, which I said, it is the systems of the earth, including trees, include everything that you see, cannot shine without you, cannot live without you, cannot be happy without you, cannot be fulfilled. Human race cannot be fulfilled. Communities and countries, environment and nations, societies, families cannot be happy and fulfilled without your contribution. Thank you, sir. Without your contribution. Man lives in darkness when they refuse to live as light. Yeah. And I'll prove to you. And Jesus told them, "You are the light. You are." But there is tendency for your light to be hidden. It can be put under a bushel or what? A basket. And some people have put their light in a bushel. Under the bushel or a basket. Some people have covered their light with a basket, and I'll prove to you. Some people have the calling to ministry, and they have refused to answer the call. And so it is like a light under a bushel. Some people have a singing ministry, and they are sitting down idle, doing nothing. Some people have a praying ministry. They are sitting down, doing nothing. It's like a light under a bushel. Nobody will see it. The reason why many a times people don't see us is because we are not using our light. Our light is not shine. Praise the Lord. I lived with my parents in the forest area of our country, where light was very scarce. No light. We lived in bush. And we used these traditional lamps. Whatever that light is, in thousands or hundreds of kilometers, in the midst of darkness, you see it. You see the reflection. Is that not so? Now, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, he said, "And God said, let there be light. And light did what? Light did what? Come. Light came." So where was that light? The light was in God. Remember, you were created in the image and after his likeness. So you are the God on earth. No, God doesn't need to come to this earth to do anything because somebody like you is here alive. No, God doesn't need to come here. It is illegal for spirits to operate on earth without human body or objects. It is illegal. Anytime a spirit wants to operate on earth, it needs an object. And you are the object that God operates through. Do you understand? Hello, am I making sense? Yeah. You are the object, God's object. Now, you are the ambassador. The president of this country doesn't need to always go to Ghana before he gets things done for his country. He has sent somebody called an ambassador. So the person is there, transact every business that concerns this country. Is that not so? You are the person God has put here, and he gave to you his image and likeness. None of the animals that you see, the trees that you see, all the things that form the world, possess what you have. None of them were created in the image of God. None of them were created in after his likeness. It is only one person. And the Bible said that he breathed into that person, and the person became, he breathed into the person breath of life, and the person became a living being. The word image and likeness think is defined as thinking, speaking being. A being that reasons, a being that can think, praise the Lord, a being that can talk, and that is your powers. So Jesus said you are the light, but if you put your light under a bushel, people will not see, unless you put it on a lampstand. How do you put it on a lampstand? By using your gift. I will come to that place. Praise the Lord. Yeah, and then Jesus said, let it shine. Let it shine means allow it, permit it. It is in you. Allow it, permit it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am a son of a manual farmer. Not my father wasn't a commercial farmer. It was just hand-to-mouth farming. And we are producing a local gene called Akpetesin. Yeah, it comes through from palm tree. Okay. Yeah, that is, we call it palm wine tapa. I don't know whether you are familiar with that. There is a jewel in the palm wine. And so locally, we produce some gene from there. When we extract it, we use other elements and instrument to produce it, and it will become wine like water. And then people are drinking. That is what I was doing with my father in the forest, in the village. I didn't know that I didn't know that I was an international missionary. I never knew. I never thought of. And those days, when even aeroplane, you know aeroplane, is passing in the sky. Yeah, people will be lifting up their heads and say, oh, Obroni. Obroni is wonderful. You know Obroni? Do you know Obroni? White man. That is what we call in our place. Obroni means white man. So that is the condition that we were born in and were growing up in. But one day I heard the word of God that says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, everything has become new. And the person said, you should not die the way your parents died. You should not die the way your uncles died. You can be different. So I just look at myself. Can I be different from my uncles? These people drinking, these people smoking, these people on drugs. Can I be different? Then I want to be different. This is not the life that I want to live. So I took decision that back then, my primary school, I took the decision. And here we are. There is power in the word of God. You have no idea. There's power in the word of God. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. So when God said, let there be light, light came. And the Bible says in John chapter 1, I think verse 5 or so, the life is the light of men. Praise the Lord. Jesus' life is the light of men. Now, in Bible context, Light is a symbol of hope. Symbol of hope, knowledge, wisdom, power, intelligence, divine presence. Yeah. And things like that. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So that is that if you are light, and so when Jesus said that you are the light of the world, or let your light shine, he's talking about you are the wisdom to certain people. You are the hope of certain people. You are the comfort giver. Agent of comfort, agent of peace. No. You should not be among them. You should be different. Where there is no peace, when you appear, peace must show up. Because you are the peace. Because that light, I've told you, is a symbol of peace, a symbol of wisdom, a symbol of love, a symbol of understanding, a symbol of forgiveness, a symbol of coexistence, that people from different race and background could come together and live together without any problem. That is the light that you are. Somebody shout hallelujah. Yeah. That is who you are. When families are falling apart, when people cannot live with one another, when communities are killing themselves, you should not be part of it. And that is why I am not part of the African or black boys who shoot others. No, I can't be part of it. I am an agent of life. Do you understand? When people understand this, they change their community. Hallelujah. So this is the light that he's talking about. So what does actually the light mean? The light that he's talking about is our inner powers, your abilities, your talent, your gifts. Hallelujah. This is the light Jesus is talking about. Jesus is telling us that you have capabilities. You are not useless. You are very powerful. Amen. Jesus is telling us you have inner powers. Jesus is telling us that you have ability to do something. Anything you see in this life or on this earth was done by somebody. Amen. Is that not so? Yeah. Forgive me. Where I'm coming from, when I'm preaching, they are shouting, and I think you know. Don't take it as if I'm being disrespectful. Sorry. Because where I'm coming, but now somebody is standing up because somebody's shouting. So sorry for that. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Everything you see, car was invented by somebody, aeroplane, ship, everything. And it is God that put powers in man when he created man. He breathed into man the breath of life. The breath of life also is a symbol of power of creativity. Yeah. First of all, you have ability to think like God. Psalm 86 verse 5 and 6 says, ye are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High. Wow. I love it. Now, do you know, maybe this question might not be fair, but I'm just looking for illustration. He is my host, so I know that even if I offend him, he will forgive me. are you a true American?
Yes, I am.
A true American. Okay, then it's good. Then you will not be offended. Tell us why you are an American. How did you become American, sir?
I was born in this country, and my parents were born in this country.
Are you sure? Are you sure it justifies why he should be an American? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. By birth.
By birth.
Yeah. Some people can be adopted into it.
Yeah.
But the right of a true American is by birth. Yeah. Is that not so? Yeah. And the Bible said anybody that is born of God is God and has overcome the world. So are you not born of God?
Yes.
Are you not born of God? I am born of God. But the reason of your acceptance of Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you are the child of God. And so it has given you right to everything God is. It has given your birth, your new birth, has given you right to everything God, that God represents. In the Garden of Eden, he gave you everything, but we lost it to sin through Adam. And Jesus Christ came, the true before God reconciled man to him, it used to be on the level of propitiation. Is that not so? Right. Now, Jesus has brought true redemption. Amen. And he has brought you back. How? By you accepting him as your personal Lord and Savior. You have become just like him. Jesus will not take anything from you. I am an Ashanti, not because I applied for it.
Right.
You are Spanish, not because you applied for it. Of course, if you apply, you become. That is the adoption that the Gentiles have been adopted into the fold of the Jews. Do you understand? That is not what we are talking. By application, you have to be adopted. You become the commonwealth of Israel. Praise the Lord.
Right.
Yes. But the true right to whatever God has is not by adoption. It's by birth. You, if it doesn't matter, even if I am adopted to this country, there are certain rights I will not be able to enjoy like you. Is that not so?
That's true.
Yeah.
I couldn't be president.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So Jesus has restored us to our former state of rulership. Because in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God, it says that, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, replenish the earth, multiply, subdue and rule over the earth. How? How do you rule over the earth? With gun? No. With arrow? No. With knife? No. But with all the abilities and the giftings and the talents in you. The powers to rule are immaterial. You don't see with your eye. Praise the Lord. Just as when God spoke, let there be, light came. Light is already was in God. God did not use any energy to produce that light. He used the power of words. The greatest weapon that God has given to any human being is words. Life and death, they are in the power of the tongue. And whosoever loves it will eat the fruit of it. Some people are not enjoying this life because their words contradict who they are. They are powerful, but they keep saying that I am not nobody. They are healed, but they keep saying I am sick. They are strong, but they keep saying that I am weak. Why the Bible said that let the weak say I am strong, and let the poor say I am rich.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We contradict what God has said. And at times, we analyze it with our carnal mind. Oh, how can it be? I don't have my bank account. It's not buoyant. I don't have even my house. I can't pay my bill. The fact that you are not able to pay your bill does not change the word of God. Because God does not see as man sees. Man sees physical things. God sees spiritual things, who you are. You are more spiritual than natural. Oh, you don't think so? Yeah, that is what the Bible says. That is what the Bible says. Tell yourself that this marriage will not collapse.
Amen.
Yeah, tell yourself. Tell yourself that this sickness will not kill me.
Amen.
You have power over cancer. You have power over diabetes. You have power over asthma. Whatever it is. You have power. Any sickness that the doctor have said, you have power over it. I'm telling you. Because here in Texas, a lady was brought to me by the lady you spoke with yesterday, the white lady, who is my rep in Texas, with cancer. And we prayed. We prayed. She went through chemo and other things. And now as I speak, she's a cancer free. So the word of God is more powerful than cancer. And that is why I speak this morning to everybody here seated. Any sickness that the doctor say you have, I want to speak to you. If no injection or medication can take care of, the word of God is able to heal you. Amen. And may you be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Shout amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Any condition that you are going through, any condition. And so, now, how can I shine my light? Let me add this few things and then I'll be out of. Please, have I spoken more than 30 minutes? Somebody should tell me. Today I told myself, by 30, 35, 40, I should be out of this.
I don't time it.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, how can I express my light? Wow. Now, can you get me to Matthew chapter 25? Well, okay. Matthew 25, verse 15 and 14. Matthew 25, verse 15 and 14. Matthew 25, verse 15 and verse number 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servant and delivered goods to them. Other version says that he delivered talents to them. Is that not so? Is that not so? Yeah. Verse 15. And to one, he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own what? This is what we are talking about. According to his own ability, and immediately he went on his journey. Now, is it not a sign of partiality and favoritism that we are all in this church? Rabbi is going on missionaries, maybe to Africa, and he has 8 talents, 8 things for people to do. Then you call this and give him 5. You call this and give him 2. And you call this sister and give him 1. Maybe it could be that this sister has been here with you since, but he got 1. It's very provocating. Is that not so? If you don't have the Spirit of God, you'll be angry. But the man justified the reason why he gave 1, 5, 1, 2, 1, the other 1, 1. Because he said he knew according to their abilities. Ability means their strength, their power. The man knew that if I give 5 to Rabbi Andrew, he can walk at it, with it. The man knew that if I give Rabbi Andrew 5, he may waste it. So he has been in the house with his servant for all these years. He knows their capabilities, their abilities, and their strength of handling issues. Not that the man was a foolish person, neither was he a partial leader. He knew their abilities, and that is what God did. God knows your abilities. And that is what the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 down 11. He said, to some he gave them apostles, to them prophets, to some pastors, evangelists, and teachers. We are not all apostles. We are not all prophets. God knows who can be an apostle, who can travel. God knows who can be a teacher. God knows who can be a pastor. But today's 21st century Christians, instead of concentrating on our gifts with the energy and ability that we have, we are there complaining and trying to be like another person. Right. The teacher wants to be like a prophet. The apostle wants to be like a teacher. It is peaceful when you discover your talent. You will not struggle. Bible says that those who compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. God has not given us the talent to be in competition, but to complement one another, to be able to build the kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you say, give to them several abilities. God knows what you can do to this church to make people come. He knows. Amen. There is an evangelist who pulls crowd in this church. There is one. There is one who stands and speaks and command or asks his or her friend to come to church. They will come.
Amen.
Yeah, there's somebody, a soul winner in this church. That when we come, there will not be enough room to accommodate people. One person, a woman of Samaria, the well of Samaria. The Bible said he went to the city and said, come and see. Though the woman was a prostitute, a harlot, but when it was necessary, God turned that negative ability to change people.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
As I speak to you, there are certain individuals part of this church that you are shouldering the church on your shoulders. If you dare go out, or if you dare do what God has put to you, the kind of light, maybe there is a powerful musician that when you stand to sing, people will come to your light and you show them where to go. The light is you.
Amen.
So let's go to 15 and I think 16 and 17 or so. The same scripture. Yeah, 16 and 17. After this, please permit me, I'll read one and then we'll close. Thank you. Then who had received the five talents, went and traded with them and made other five talents. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more talents. Now, verse 17. Then he who had with no, okay. Yeah. Verse
17.
Yeah.
So that's
17, but 18 starts. Okay. 17. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his lost talent. Now I want you to look at this scripture. Three people. Do you think the man gave that the man gave, some were good and some were bad? Is that what you think?
No.
No. The talent were of the same capabilities, the same powers, the same strength. The only thing they needed was to work with it and you succeed. That is the only thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? The talent that God gave to one, the one, is as powerful as the talent that the man who received five received. The talent of the one who received five is also as powerful as the one who received two. They were all equal.
Right.
Power. But do you know why some gain and some loss? Because some people deliberately started trading with it. Some people deliberately, when they received the talent, they went out there and made business with it. The one who received five and the one who received two, they went and worked with it. But the one who received one, for whatever reason, dug the ground. Do you know that laziness is costly? Being lazy, being slothful is very costly.
Amen.
For you, instead of digging the ground, why can't you walk to the market and trade with it? You spend time digging the ground. Instead of walking to the market and saying, I buy this and trade with it. When people are lazy to use their talent, they play blame games. People are blaming others for their failure. No. Even not the person who told you, I will make you fail. Or your boss who said, I will sack you and sack you. He has done nothing to you. When you remove the clothes, or when you naked a man of vision, you have not done anything. You have only given him another opportunity to do something better, to have a better cloth. A man of vision. But a man without vision will sit and cry. But a man of vision will say, ah, I was dressed like that, and then this man removing. I can get a better one. And we'll go for a better one. Please, do you understand what I'm saying? So, this, number one, he failed simply because he refused to use his talent. Some people in this life, we have received equal talent. It doesn't matter somebody is an apostle, somebody is a prophet. It doesn't matter. It does not mean that when somebody is a prophet, he's more powerful than a teacher. No! No, 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 no. It does not mean that when somebody is an apostle, he's more powerful than the pastor. No! It is an office God has given to us. You become powerful by using them. They are all dynamic. Dynamic means having a life. It is a living thing. The gift in you, my gift is not bigger than yours. Yours is not bigger than me. I can only be bigger than yours simply because I'm using my gift. I can only be an international preacher. I can only be affect my community. I can only pastor a church simply because I'm making use of what? My gift. But if you're talking about equal capacity, they are equal. The singer in the house of God is as powerful as the preacher in the pulpit. The prayer warriors, the usher, is as powerful as the one who prophesy.
Amen.
Bible said that we do it all to edify the body of what? Christ. Is that not so? So edification means we put all the pieces together to get a whole. Otherwise, the preacher cannot be here preaching, singing, praying, jutai, ushering people. No. And so God has given us several gifts. And he knows our ability that you can be a prophet. He knows your ability that you can be a pastor's wife. He knows your ability that you can play instrument. He knows your ability that you can be an usher. He knows your ability that you can give. Amen. And so he has given us opportunity to become who he wants us to become. Amen. So what is your gift? What are you doing since you became born again? What have you done for Christ? Yes, we may be doing something, but by you, it might not be enough. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, human beings as we are, at times we want to feel good. Amen. Right. Times we want to feel good. Once maybe I'm supposed to go 10 miles and I go 6 miles. Oh, it's okay. I've done well. It's okay. Until you do exactly what God wants you to do, you have not obeyed him. It's like when people want, do you believe in tithing in this church? Yeah. It's when people want to pay tithe, which I believe that's a good thing. Praise the Lord. And let's say they have $10,000 to give. And they look at us and, well, let me give $5,000. It's okay. And let me give $5,000. Yes, you have given, but not according to what God tell you. And until you do his will, you will not get the reward. Until you do his will. And somebody will say that, yes, well, me, this is what I will behave. I don't want anybody to offend me. And so I will not show my face. We join a church and we sit down quietly while the church is in need of the talent that we have. Hallelujah. The church is in need. Christ is in need of the talent. We go and sit down. I am a new place. I am new in that church. I don't want to worry about that church. The other one, the way people offended, the way the pastor offended, the way the elder offended. I don't want to do anything and you sit. And then others are also using their gifts. Now let me tell you, in human environment, offenses are bound to come every day. Let me tell you something. At times it's between you and your wife. One of you offend the other. Is that not so? Is that not so? Between you and your wife. Even at times you offend, your wife will offend you. The third person like Rabbi Andrew is not there. Only you and your wife. At times you get offended. So human beings are not infallible.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Offense will come. In the church, offense are bound to come. Because it is not, angels, even among angels. Angels, look at Lucifer in heaven. Didn't he fight the one who created him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So these things are bound to come. But God has told us to have a forgiving heart.
Right.
Praise the Lord. So let us use our gift. Let us shine. Until you lose your gift, you will not shine. Your gift is the light in you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
People will call you pastor because you accepted to be a pastor. You cannot see anybody on the street and say, hey, man of God, hey, reverend, oh, bishop. No. When you accept to speak, people will call you by that name. Let your light shine. Jesus said, let your light shine.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the last one, how do we shine our light? How can our light shine? Bible says, not only in the church. He said, in the world. God doesn't want to see your light shining in the church. Because where there is light, another light is not needed. And another light cannot shine very well. You know, we have lights here. If you like, put on another light. It will not shine very well. Bible says that, and the light shines in darkness, and darkness could not comprehend it. The word is the darkness that the Bible is talking about. And that is the place God wants you to express your light. And look at what, when your light shines, what will happen? The last one, then we'll go in Matthew chapter 25. Let's go to verse 34 to 40. Now we'll just read that one and then. Wow. So Matthew 25, verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. So we are going to inherit the kingdom. And let's see how anyone can inherit the kingdom. Amen. Let's say these are the people that are supposed to go to heaven. So let's see how he took them to heaven. Verse 35. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was stranger and you took me in. Yeah, let's go. 36.
That's the next verse right there.
Okay. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. 37. Then the righteous will answer him and saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, as I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did not do it to me. Amen. Amen. So our light can only shine when we do all these things. Praise the Lord. Yes. When we do of taking care of the naked, clothing the naked, when we do visiting the prisoners, when we do giving water to the thirsty, when we do giving food to the hungry. Praise the Lord. Because these things speak volume to the word than the words we speak. Yeah. I sent something to Rabbi Andrew. My community where my church is a bit elite and they are very skeptic. No, they are like, what is it? What are they doing? They are doing church. What is it? Oh, church are men. Oh, so God gave us wisdom. Praise the Lord. My wife is a caterer, and so we use my wife's profession. And every year, we train people for free. and we donate OVs to them free. We sort for fun, and then we donate OVs and other things to them. Then 2 years ago, God gave me another strategy. And those who are doing petty trading, I should give them small, I should help them small with small money, like $100 to boost up their day. You cannot, sir, you cannot imagine the kind of people that entered my church. They do not come as church members. When they heard that this pastor is doing this thing, people started, women started coming to that church. When they saw that every year I train people and donate, young girls and young ladies started coming to church. And now God gave me another strategy that I should train the community for free of charge for in computer, digital training. And so, by the grace of God, when I go, we're going to do this thing. Now, I said this to tell you that at times, these things that we do speaks powerfully, speaks better than Jesus is Lord, than John 3:16. Some people get angry when they are hungry. When you mention John 3:16, they will even attempt to slap you. But when you say that this is food, they are attracted to you. And at times, this is the reason why we are alive. The talent we have that we can provide for others. Our light can shine in the church by using our talents to do something for the growth of the church. And our life shine outside by giving food to people, clothing people, paying people's school fees. I have a boy. I have about 5 boys that I took them and I paid them at the university now. They were, I started a morning devotion. You know what a morning, early in the morning. There was a school opposite to where I was living. So I started. And the boys, the children around started coming, but their parents got angry. And a lot of them stopped. So this boys, I set my eyes that I will sponsor them. I will pay their school fees. And I started paying. When the parents saw that I was paying the school fees, they never stopped them from coming to church. Now, some of them are in the university. If I have gone to their parents, oh, God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, let your children come to. They will not. But when they saw that what is in me is reflecting on their children, they kept quiet. They kept quiet. At times people will get saved when we attempt to do things like this. When we fold our hand, when we become stingy, when we become unconcerned, we are pushing people to jail. We are pushing people to drug addiction. We are pushing people to premature death. Some young women and some young men or youth are on drugs simply because somebody refused to throw arms around them in this area. And that is why they are in that jail. When our life shines like this, we will reduce the inmate in jails. We will reduce drug addiction. We will reduce prostitution. If our life shines, if we come out and say that this is our church, we must serve people. What is it that you serve a man who is hungry and say, go home tomorrow, for tomorrow we'll meet? Is it a proper salvation? If you serve somebody who is on drug and you say, they'll go home, tomorrow we'll meet. No, you need to go the second mile to cater for that person, certain things, to help the person to stay in the salvation. Otherwise, from your presence, the person is going to go and continue. Because some young boys, they don't feel peace and joy anywhere than to smoke or take alcohol or take any form of drug. But if they can have alternative, people who love them and can show them love by helping some of their needs, definitely we will reduce certain things, certain vices in our community. Church, this morning we are all sharing. Let your light shine. There is a light in you. First, in the church. If it is singing, sing it. If it is preaching, preach it. If it is soul winning, make sure that you will not come to this church without a friend following you. And it's possible. I know you Americans, you have all your laws. that if you try to follow somebody, they say they'll tell it, you are doing what? You are imposing your religion on the person, you can be arrested. Hallelujah. But what is it? Apostles, they were arrested. They were arrested, yet they preached to you. They laid down their lives to get you the gospel that we have. Let us suffer a bit. Let us give a bit. Let us show concern a bit. Let us stand to say that we are praying till this time a bit. And it will go a long way. And apart from that, let us go to the needy outside. They understand the language of kindness than the preaching we preach. At times, put your hands together, hallelujah. At times our preaching becomes so boring to them because we are not able to meet their needs. And that is why the other religion gradually coming in to fill the gap that the Christianity has created. Because they are giving people accommodation. They are giving people, they are paying people school fees. They are giving hope to people. And we, when we see a smoker or a drug addict, we shun them. We don't want them even to come close. Bible says Jesus came to seek and to save.
Amen.
Look at Jesus. The difference between Jesus' gospel and our gospel is this. He came to seek and to save. We sit and expect them to come. Jesus was going around. Bible says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all them that were sick and them that were under the oppression of the devil. We are not seeking. The word seeking means you are violently looking for something. Is that not so? That is seeking. Jesus was going around from cities to cities, looking for the leopard, looking for blind, looking for people. And the Bible said he did good to them. But we today, we have inherited the gospel and we sit. And if nobody comes to church, we don't care. If nobody is saved, we don't care. If nobody is comforted, we don't care. There was a guy in Paul's life called Barnabas. The word Barnabas is called consolation. All that, he was not prominent as Paul was, but he was Paul's teacher. Yeah. Even when there was a rift between Paul and John Mark, it took Barnabas to help John Mark and brought him up, trained him to become strong. Before John, before at the tail end of Paul's ministry, he said, send me John Mark.
Right.
He took the intervention of Barnabas. At times, Christians will throw good materials away because they are on drugs. Because our children are fornicating. Because they are disobedient. We give up on them. We don't pray for them. We don't fast for them. I let them go. If they go to prison, I don't care. No, you care. You care because you have a mandate to save somebody. You care. You can't say. You can't sit unconcerned.
That's right.
You can't sit. And also, if it is other people's children, just as you pray for your son drug addict, or you groan in the place of prayer for deliverance of your children, have the same heart and the same compassion for other children. God bless us. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. And so, Father, I thank you for bringing me to this little brown, God's little brown church in Russell's Point, Vermont, United States. Thank you for the acceptance. Thank you for Rabbi Andrews and the wife. Thank you for all the leaders, men and women that have come to meet. I pray that our light will not be dimmed. Our light will not be quenched. Anything that quenches light in human soul, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I command the ability to cause your light to shine. From today, any giftings, any talent, any skill, any ability embedded in your spirit, come out in the name of Jesus. Let the singer sing. Let the prayer warrior pray. Let the preacher preach. Let the soul win souls. Let the giver give. Let the tither tithe. Ability to do all things as a fuel. I command it to flow through your system now in the name of Jesus. And I pray, if there be any sick among us, Maya Kabo Sata Rabazudia, Yaya Yabo Sikata, if there be any sick, anything that the doctor have said, I stand as your servant. I stretch forth my hand, touch the person through the words of my mouth. Your heart, your kidney, your liver, your pancreas, your colon, your spleen, anything in you, your ears, your head, your brain, anything, I rebuke it. Go in the name of Jesus. And I command total freedom. You shall not die young, and you shall not be cut off by sickness in the name of Jesus. If there be any daughter, any son of your children that has gone wayward, in the mighty name of Jesus, we command that person to come back. Any scare on their mind, we command you to fall in the name of Jesus. Any principalities and powers that is taking advantage of anybody's, any family here, I stand in the speaking blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I command that it will speak deliverance and freedom now, in the name of Jesus. If there be anybody who has lost any money, who has lost any property illegally, or anything that have taken from anybody here illegally, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I call, speak now. By the time we come back next Sunday, by the time we get to the end of this month, let somebody come and say, the Lord has given me justice. The Lord has given me justice. If there is any contention in anybody's life, if there is any spiritual manipulations in anybody's family, I take authority and dominion by the power of the Holy Ghost through the blood of Jesus that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. I speak freedom, that your light will not be quenched. Your marriage life will not be quenched. Your business light, your health light will not be quenched. You are blessed, and blessing you are. Father, I give you praise. I pray for this church that as we before we come back again, let that miracle happen to this church. And let every member of this church remember that you are Jehovah God. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcdt.org.